Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host, proud to be your host, here on this beautiful second day of September, on this episode 1831, the 31st podcast of 2018. Hopefully you guys are having a safe and blessed Labor Day weekend. A great way to start off this month is to get those flagpoles back up to the top of the flagpole. Get the flag back up to the top of the flagpole. Enough said on that. Okay, let's see. Let's just get right into the news and commentary. How does that sound? We're going to talk about American Redoubt stuff. We're going to talk about South Africa. We're going to talk about the leftists' plans for the future of America and why you should be preparing and being engaged now. But the news and commentary is brought to you by our friend and author Glenn Tate from the 299 Days book series, with all 10 books out, including the audio books. Check it out at 299days.com. All right, first, this one comes from Jihad Watch. Now, we don't want to just focus on negative things, even though there's a lot of ugliness in the world, and that does directly affect us, and we want to be vigilant and watchful and not just just blissfully ignorant of what's going on. But we also want to keep an eye out for some positive things when they come up. And this one right here, U.S. ends all funding to the U.N. agency for quote-unquote Palestinian refugees. Hallelujah. This is long overdue. Only among the Palestinians is refugee status passed down to children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Millions of people were displaced after World War II, but they moved elsewhere and got on with their lives, not the Palestinians, because they were and are a weapon of the jihad, according to this article here. U.S. ends all funding to the U.N. Agency for Palestinian Refugees. Apparently, and that's a good start. I mean, I'd say defund the United Nations, get us out of the United Nations. We need to switch from globalist policies to nationalist policies, in my opinion. The United States has long been the biggest single donor to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Near East, known as UNRWA, donating more than $350 million to the agency in 2017. Well, you can read the rest of that article over at jihadwatch.org. Next here, top U.S. banks won't commit to ending Iranian financial access. So, two top American financial institutions would not commit to cutting Iranian access to international financial markets, a cornerstone of the Trump administration's new sanctions on Iran, adding fuel to concerns among U.S. officials about efforts by European countries and Iran's regional allies to skirt the new American sanctions ahead of a November 4th implementation deadline. And that is brought to you by the Washington Free Beacon. We'll see what type of ramifications that might have for those banks. J.P. Morgan and Citibank, top American financial institutions that sit on the board of the SWIFT financial network, which facilitates international banking transactions, declined Free Beacon inquiries into whether they intend to disconnect Iran from the network and comply with the Trump administration's sanctions. Senior U.S. officials and leaders on the Hill have been pressuring global banks, including those in the United States, to choke Iran's global financial access, particularly via SWIFT, the leading provider of financial transactions and banking information worldwide. So I could expect that there would be some major ramifications against those banks should they decide to break the law and go against those sanctioning measures by the United States. In other news, in South America, we saw some of these reports about a gun grab in South Africa that could be coming. The New American has a great article on this. And then, of course, there's several links to this. But the South Africa Supreme Court just made a ruling, and I'm going to talk about that more in segment four when I talk more about the South Africa updates. There's also something else that's a little alarming, could be something worth watching. I don't get caught up in some of this, conspiracy theory stuff, but this guy, QAnon, Anonymous Q, he's got a website, and I follow it kind of at a distance, but a lot of his stuff, is very cryptic and it's kind of difficult to discern. But apparently this is an insider leaking information about deep state and what's happening in deep state and things that could affect you and I as a free republic. But he posts this kind of like a riddle, like a lot of stuff that he posts. Snow White 7 now offline, package complete, have a nice day, Q. That's it. Well, Snow White is the code name for the CIA bank of seven supercomputers known as the Seven Dwarfs. Q confirms that Snow White 7 is now offline. Of course, we've heard this with other sources as well. So what I've not been able to discern yet is whether or not everybody's quoting the same single source or if there's multiple different sources that are just corroborating one another. So, but anyway, that means that the cabal have lost their data storage, and that is a really big deal. Remember, Q has said regarding all the information and evidence against the cabal, he says, we have it all. So Q post number 2016 says blind eyes in the sky. Shall we play a game? Q. Now, blind eyes in the sky refers to the 17 tracking satellites that appear to have been disabled. And Anon on the Great Awakening board explains it in a post that he links over to Reddit. So here are some thoughts from Anon's about Big Bird, hot off the press. And so what they're saying is this could be an indicator of a major event. Sky event, big rally, Big Bird, big week. The CIA is being destroyed in front of our eyes, this person writes. Whatever is now taking place is of massive importance to the alliance plan. Pray for President Trump and the entire alliance team. So what this means is that some super powerful intelligence gathering tools are essentially blinded and kind of hurled into the dark, making us extremely vulnerable. That's the implication of all of this. And now I don't know if this stuff's back up online. I have not been able to find updates on this, but and I don't know what the cause is. But when you see a massive CIA database and intelligence satellite system all going dark and blind and going offline, that's huge. That could be an indicator that somebody is messing around with something very major in the background. So that's about as far as I want to get into that. But just, here's the thing. What did I say, years ago, months ago? What to expect? What should we expect? Well, expect the unexpected. And try to do your best to prepare to secure your family and your community to weather whatever comes, whatever it happens to be. any of these indicators means something big could happen. I don't want to say it's irrelevant, but what I mean is it should not have a lot of bearing on you and being afraid to go out or afraid to go to the store or afraid to go to your family vacation to Yellowstone or someplace really cool because of all of this stuff coming out. We want to pay attention to this. We want to follow this stuff, but we also should be making preparations all along anyway and then maintaining vigilance, but not be in a basket case where you're just you're pretty much ineffective. And I've seen that with a lot of these folks. They get so spun up and worried about all these signs and indicators of potential peril, unrest, so on and so forth. Use diligence. Use diligence and discernment and prepare, but don't be consumed with it. Be purposeful, but not completely overly consumed and overwhelmed with it all. All right. And don't live in fear. Now, I told you guys last week about this website that I stumbled across in this local nickel paper, the Nicholsworth, that covers pretty much the region of the northern part of the American Redoubt. So western Montana, northern Idaho, and eastern Washington, called the Nicholsworth. Well, I see this rhino pack, these rhino hunters, a political action committee or political action campaign, rhinopack.org. And so I went to the website and they've got this section, Stark Raving Mad tab, with some of these stories, it's the kind of stuff that I would pick up on. But I'm going to read a couple of these to you. Armed thugs assault unarmed cops. They picked up on this over at rhinopack.org, the Stark Raving Mad page. London Stan, England. Two London police officers caught a crook in the act of burglarizing a business late last night. This is a 31 August when this was posted. After taking the thug into custody, the unarmed officers were confronted by several armed accomplices of the thief, who demanded his release. The officers, fearing for their lives, complied. Officials are now searching for the crooks. England has the most draconian gun control laws in the world. Legal possession of a firearm of any kind is nearly impossible, even for police, it sounds like. Even the police are normally disarmed, which creates a parasite paradise. London, under the leadership of Muslim mayor Sadiq Khan, ensures an average of one gunshot every 6 hours, over 100 homicides so far this year. And it's just increased crime there. Amazing. Democrats solve the he, she, it thing. This came out on the 27th of August out of Chicago. Democratic National Committee members adopted language to their charter last Sunday to include gender self-identification and gender non-binary members. Man, they just completely, they've left the planet. The existing charter, this is the Democratic Party charter, made no provision for the sexually confused, those that identify as both sexes, either sex depending on mood, or something new such as tree sexual or frog sexual. There's actually a story covering this that relates to this, the frog sexual thing. Okay, so the new charter solves this horrid discrimination against the puzzled. The language now says committees shall be as equally divided as practicable between men and women, determined by gender self-identification, meaning that the variance between men and women in the group cannot exceed one. Gender non-binary members, this would of course include the frog sexual, will not be counted as either male or female, and the remainder of the delegation shall be equally divided. The litmus test should be Democrat. I don't care what else you are, but Democrat should automatically make you ineligible to hold public office or function in any meaningful way in society. Wow. Okay. mass shooting in a gun-free zone. Never heard of this before? Well, here's another example. From the 26th of August, out of Jacksonville, a mass shooting occurred in yet another quote-unquote gun-free zone. At least two people were killed and 11 others injured when a professional video gamer, wow, that's career field now, a professional video gamer from Baltimore lost both a tournament and his mind and went on a shooting rampage. Apparently, the gamer missed the multiple no guns signs and the rules which state possession of a weapon, even if legally carried except by law enforcement officers, is absolutely prohibited on landing property. Well, naturally, within moments, the knee-jerk left went into attack mode, alternately blaming Trump and the NRA. Neither CBS, MSNBC, NBC, or CNN has seen fit as of yet to mention the shooter was a left-wing anti-Trumper nut job who came from heavily gun-controlled Maryland, nor that he chose a gun-free zone to commit this atrocity. Apparently, those facts don't fit their agenda. So, one last one here from RedoubtNews.com. Actually, I got a couple here. Oh, this is interesting. The Democrats call for a boycott of In-N-Out Burger. Now, those of you in the People's Democratic Republic of California know exactly what this is. In-N-Out Burger, extremely popular fast food burger franchise, is under attack for it was discovered that they donated money to the Republicans. Well, the Democrats are calling for a boycott against In-N-Out Burger, and it's backfiring. The support is surging. There's another story here from Patriot Beat. In-N-Out Burger is under attack from a mob of unhinged liberals who are angry that the popular burger chain donated money to the GOP. Democrats are calling for a boycott, but it's failed before it even started. In-N-Out came out with a fiery statement claiming they've donated to both Democrats and Republicans and advised they will continue to do so. What they're going for is bipartisanship. They're saying we need to work together to solve some of these problems. So this is what they said. They've made equal contributions to both Democratic and Republican political action committees in the state of California. For years, In-N-Out Burger has supported lawmakers who, regardless of political affiliation, promote policies that strengthen California and allow us to continue operating with the values of providing strong pay and great benefits for our associates. They're saying it's actually far more important to In-N-Out and our foundations to support our community by contributing millions of dollars to hundreds of organizations in California to prevent child abuse, human trafficking, and substance addiction. But see, the Democrats don't want to hear all of that, like working together and actually getting things done to protect children, stop human trafficking, and helping with substance addiction. No, 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 no. All that just got swept under the rug because you donated to those evil Republicans. So the Democrats are really looking like they've got a cheeseburger on their face. And the support for In-N-Out Burger is just overwhelming. Now, finally, from Redoubt News, the Washington 3%ers continues their community outreach 8 days after the Liberty or Death rally against left-wing violence in front of Seattle City Hall. The patriotic Washington 3% organization has continued with normal operations, resuming normal community outreach efforts for deserving families and the homeless. On August 24th, several members led by the state leader Matt Marshall returned to downtown Seattle to pass out bags filled with food and hygiene essentials for the homeless. God bless them. The group assembled for bags in the South King Street parking lot off 6th Street. That's a heavily occupied territory. Then proceeded to the tent city under the I-5 overpass on James Street to pass those things out. The 3%ers also passed out the donations in front of City Hall on 4th Avenue, probably in violation of some city ordinance. Passing out bags of food and personal hygiene items to homeless is probably a felony in Seattle, unless it's given through one of their approved organizations. Just a guess. So at the scene of the Liberty or Death rally a few days before they did this and had enough left over to distribute in another place as well. So the Washington 3% Organization is a community support organization that focuses on building our communities, said Matt Marshall, the Washington 3% state leader. He says, we're also a pro-human right organization to support the entire Bill of Rights, which includes the right to bear arms. Last week, we were at City Hall hosting a peaceful demonstration in support of our Second Amendment. We were met with mostly peaceful counter-demonstrators and a few violent ones. So I don't think they were too worried about the violent ones being that they're armed. Way to go, 3%ers in Washington State. Stay right there. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. We'll be back with segment two coming right up.
Some misguided members of our community are helping to spread false and even slanderous information about the movement to form a 51st state, Liberty State. They have gone so far as to say these people are motivated by hate and want a civil war. They were talking about you and me, those of us who want to be free from Olympia's and Seattle's extreme leftist policies. Although they say they're not opposed to forming a new state, they're opposed to violence, implying that supporters of Liberty State want violence is not only ignorant and absurd, it is completely untrue, if not slanderous. It leaves me wondering, are the critics truly that afraid of Liberty State, or are they simply afraid of liberty? So to set the record straight, the official position of the movement to form a 51st state, Liberty State, is based on the United States Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land and is clearly outlined in Article 4. The first clause of Section 3, also known as the Admissions Clause, grants to Congress the authority to admit new states into the Union. And it reads, new states may be admitted by the Congress into this Union, but no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state, nor any state be formed by the junction of two or more states, or parts of states without the consent of the legislatures of the states concerned, as well as of the Congress. This is the peaceful and lawful process for forming a new state, and this is all we want. Anything to the contrary is a lie. Join me in spreading the truth and standing for liberty. I'm Lady Liberty, and this is a public service announcement on behalf of Liberty State. Visit us at libertystate.org today.
We're back, and this is segment two. Segment two is brought to you by our friends at Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping folks just like you get strategically relocated to the into the innermost part of the deepest recesses of the American Redoubt. North Idaho, up in the panhandle, actually, up by the Canadian border, Boundary County is where they're located. They've helped a lot of folks. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Get a hold of them. Check them out. And don't forget to check out socialismtoday.info, brought to you by the senior editor of the Gem State Patriot. They do a great job of providing volumes of documentation about the existence of socialism and that's permeating our culture and our government. Socialismtoday.info as well. All right. This is the American Redoubt segment. And mostly, I want to remind you of some of these events coming up. There is a rally coming up on September 8th in Boise. If you are anywhere within an hour or two, I want to strongly encourage you to make the run up there. Idaho Rally for the Second Amendment 2018, Saturday, September 8th at 1 p.m. And that's going to go to 4 p.m. Mountain Time. Let's see. They're going to have some special guest speakers attending the rally there as well. You can learn more by going to idahossa.org, and they've got additional details there as well. Also, up in Colville, Washington, they're beginning a ride, the 9/11 commemorative ride, which they do every year. That will be beginning in Colville, in the Safeway parking lot at 8:45 a.m. If you're a rider, if you ride motorcycle, then they're going to have all of the riders lined up It's marked out. The ladder truck will be there to take a aerial photo from the top of the ladder truck of all the motorcycles that will be starting there in Colville Saturday morning, the 8th, to take a picture of that all laid out in the shape of the making 911. And then they're going to take off at exactly 9:11 a.m. On a route that'll take them, will probably be joined by up to 150. This will include about 150 to 200 motorcycles riding. It'll end up in Spokane, a beautiful ride up there to commemorate 9/11. With a big burger burn and entertainment speakers and stuff like that in Spokane. So we look forward to that very much. Very good stuff. Okay, and then the Inland Northwest Freedom Fest will be September 14th and September 15th. That's Friday night with Reba McIntyre's sister, Susie McIntyre, opening up there on Friday. And then Saturday at Barn Again in Kokalala, Idaho. That's between this north of Coeur d'Alene and south of closer actually to Sandpoint. There'll be an all-day event, multiple pastors helping to equip you as Christians to prepare for the challenges that we face today and the challenges that we still have to come. The main keynote speaker will be David Barton. Radio Free Redoubt will be live streaming and covering that on Saturday. And we should be also be broadcasting live on our the American Christian Network affiliate radio stations across Liberty Broadcasting. So if you are in the Kootenai County or Spokane County on either side of the Idaho-Washington border, I mean Idaho at Liberty border, you should be able to listen on 96.5 FM or AM 630 there at 9 a.m. from 9 to 9:30 a.m. on Saturday. But then I will also be live streaming if you just go right here where you're listening here on Sunday night, the live streaming at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. So that's going to be good stuff. Looking forward to that. InlandNWFreedomFest.com for more information. The next weekend, packed weekend. I know it's bow hunting season. I know. I didn't plan these. Sorry. I'm just the messenger. But September 22nd through the 23rd, Sandpoint, Idaho at the Bonner County Fairgrounds from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And that's both Saturday and Sunday. 2 days of preparedness workshops, presentations, and exhibits. The author Glenn Tate will be speaking, as well as the author Shelby Gallagher. And I will be speaking as well, talking about emergency preparedness, kind of current events, and emergency communications. And we'll have a booth there as well. So let's see. What else we got here? The rally for the Second Amendment. Already got that. September 8th. So we're good. This is a short segment. All right. Hey, I hope you enjoy this collection of news from World War II. I dug these out. I've got a collection of these news broadcasts. They range anywhere from 20 seconds to 2 or 3 minutes. And I'm going to play one for you each week. This old time radio collection. I love these. Hope you guys enjoy them as well. And I'm just going to go right down this. All of these are from 1945. So each week, I'll include one in one of our shows until I get through the whole collection. What, I got 30, 40 of them? So we got a few years. You get to listen to these every week. Let me know what you think. Hopefully you like them. All right, we'll be back with segment 3 right after this.
We interrupt the program now in progress to bring you a special report from Guam. This report will come to you via special military facilities and is being released at this time to the combined American networks. Now for the special news from Advanced Naval Headquarters, far out in the Pacific, we take you to Guam. Go ahead, Guam.
The following communique has this minute been issued by C.W. Nimitz, Fleet Admiral, U.S. Navy, Commander-in-Chief, U.S. Pacific Fleet and Pacific Ocean Areas. The communique. Vice Admiral Mark A. Mitcher is in command of a powerful task force of the Pacific Fleet, is now attacking enemy aircraft, air bases, and other military targets in and around Tokyo. Surface units of the Pacific Fleet are bombarding Iwo Jima. Aircraft of the Strategic Air Force Pacific Ocean areas are bombing Iwo Jima and nearby positions in the Balloons. The fleet forces are under the tactical command of Admiral R.A. Spruance, Commander, 5th Fleet.
This is Art Prim, returning you to the United States.
In a world where not all podcasts are equal.
Welcome back to Strategic Landscape Design's sponsored segment, which is segment 3. Hey, Strategic Landscape Design will also be at the Inland Northwest Preparedness Expo. Get a chance to meet them, but they have designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive on your property to get the most out of water production, food production, defensibility, so much more, securing your water rights after you've bought property, property you already own, or if you are shopping for property and you would really like to have an expert go over your different properties that you're trying to choose from to decide what might be best for you as far as providing those things, water, sustainability for water, food production, defensibility, just all of it, everything having to do with that property, which one would be best for you before you buy. So give them a call. Strategiclandscapedesign.com is where you go to learn more. All right. There was something that I touched on yesterday, and this was covered in multiple different news outlets, but I pulled this one from the Federalist Papers because I like those guys and I like to just to send traffic to them because so far, everything I've seen, they're just really squared away people that work hard to keep information coming at you, of course, besides redoubtnews.com. But there's just too much information out there for any one group or any one outlet to cover it all, right? So this one here, in a chilling new development, a Democrat member of the House of Representatives just publicly warned ICE agents that after Trump leaves office, they could be prosecuted for following orders. He says, you're not good. This is like the setting the stage for the future Nuremberg trials 2.0 for enforcing the law and deporting illegal immigrants, illegal aliens, illegal invaders who get deported. Well, the Democrats are going to try to change the laws afterward, after Trump gets out. And they are actually already threatening. You're getting a glimpse of what is to come. And things are going to get real sporty in our country as the left grabs the power back after Trump, whether that's in 2 years from now or 6 years from now. They want it bad. And these people are more and more openly hostile. I mean, violence. And we're talking about the left, communist revolutionaries who have plenty of sympathetic elected officials. If they aren't communist revolutionaries themselves, then they're at least sympathetic. And so they're pounding the pulpit now. This guy in particular says that he warning the ICE agents that we're going to go after you guys. You're not going to be safe. You're not going to be able to say, I was just following orders. Isn't that amazing? So there's something else too that I've come across several different things here, but there's one in particular. Trump delivers prophetic warning to Christian leaders. And somebody sent me this link. I watched this Dr. Lance Wallnau's video. And what he describes is a meeting with Christian leaders where President Trump, President Trump, asked for all the press, all the media to leave to have a private meeting with the Christian leaders. And in this, he warned them. He said, among several other things, besides if they impeach me, this economy will collapse. But he warned the Christians what the left is planning. And he even said, you can expect hostility, if not violence, toward Christians. They are going to come after you people, the Christians. I'm going to post this. I'm going to see if I can even embed this video in our highlights and resources posting. Well, somebody in this private meeting leaked this, and this came out over, I think it was NBC who first revealed Trump's warning to the Christians. And of course, then it went out from there. And this doctor, a Christian, Dr. Lance Wallnau, did a full commentary on this. And I really appreciate him getting this information out. But they are planning on destroying Trump. They are planning on destroying his legacy, undoing everything that Trump is accomplishing right now. President Trump. Correction, not Trump. President Trump. And we're celebrating right now because he is going in there and just completely unraveling everything that the previous individual who occupied the White House, who will not be named, everything that that communist revolutionary accomplished, President Trump is undoing it. And they are just so furious. Well, they're so furious, they're mobilizing. They're doing what we should be doing right now while we have the momentum, and we're just not. Now, there's a lot of people that are still in the fight, and people are waking back up again. They're shaking off the slumber, and they're starting to get reengaged. They're starting to pay attention and look around a little bit. But boy, we've really got to double down. You watch. I predict that they are so stirred up right now and so mobilized, you're going to see many more upsets in this midterm election that traditionally conservatives kind of sit out. And this could have detrimental effects. But here's something else that was just sent to me by a listener. And I've read through this plan. It says, this is a link to an article which describes David Brock's plan to undermine and destroy President Trump's administration. In the Washington Free Beacon article that this article references, there is a link to the plan itself. But that link is to Scribd, which requires that you sign up to actually download the plan. So I've got a link here to a source that does not require any sign up. I'm going to include that in the highlights and resources posting. Give me 24 to 36 hours to get all of the highlights and everything uploaded to the highlights and resources posting for this show. But it's all laid out right there, and I read through it. For a more in-depth, albeit dated, resource about who David Brock is, Soros' plan to destroy our country, Soros' long-standing close relationship, and the various players that have driven the Democrat Party to absolute leftists, I recommend The Shadow Party by David Horowitz and Richard Poe. And that was about 2006 when that came out. The fact that it predates the disastrous reign of Dear Leader by a couple years makes it all the more prescient. Reject the narrative, arm yourself with knowledge, fight to win. So thank you very much for sending this in. There's several very astute listeners out there who keep their ear down to the rail and catch some really interesting things that they're kind of helped me with that dragnet of information. And this one is definitely worth paying attention to. Okay, it's the article that describes David Brock's plan. And I agree. I just put this on my list of books to get, The Shadow Party by David Horowitz and Richard Poe. We're going to put a link. And, of course, anytime you guys, if you use an Amazon link or just go to the Amazon banner on the side there at RadioFreeRedoubt.com or Amron.com, you click on through to make your purchases, whether you're buying a barbecuer or, anything, really, a book, anything like that, your birthday presents, Christmas presents, that helps. Just it all adds up. It's just a small amount, but it does all add up, and it really does help. So we'll put a Amazon link there to the Shadow Party book by David Horowitz. But then I'm also going to put up this, which is free. It's a source for downloading this document, which is David Brock's plan to undermine and destroy President Trump's administration. Just unbelievable. People, we're in a fight. We're in a fight for what's left of America. And as long as it continues to stand, we need to fight for it. We need to be prepared to be armed with truth and educate ourselves on our heritage and our history. And now more than ever, stay close to God. I really believe that that is going to be the definer here in the future. So anyway, with that, let's go ahead and take a break. Come back with segment four and talk about some of our updates from South Africa. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Don't go away. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
In the line of the
we're back, going into the fourth and the final segment here at Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of resistance against everything that is setting itself against our traditional American ideals and our values and all the things that we stand for. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and my name is your name too, if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. And that's the whole point. It's not about me. It's not just about you. This is about how we all feel, the things that we all see, the frustrations that we all sense, and banding together so you know that you're not alone. When you see the world absolutely going insane. So segment four here is brought to you by Works Holsters, Works LLC. That's with a Z, WERKZ.com. Look at the inside the waistband, outside the waistband, any type of laser, flashlight, anything like that that you have, they can custom make to order with colors, patterns of Kydex. They're beautiful and very pro quality, made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Okay, now let's talk about South Africa. And first of all, why? Why are we talking about South Africa? Why do I keep bringing this up? Because, I mean, we've got our own problems without worrying about some other country like South Africa, right? Okay, the reason, there's a couple of reasons why I talk about this. Now, first of all, what's going on there, what they're up against is the same thing that you and I are up against. It is a deep state driven by globalist ambitions. And what it really comes down to is communism versus liberty, communism versus freedom and free people, communism versus land ownership, communism versus capitalism and free markets. It is utter control. It is complete and utter control and chaos. Now, the people that are stirring this up, the people that are the communist revolutionaries on the ground that are actually carrying out an evil agenda, and it is evil, is detestable, who are robbing others of their property. They are the tools. This is really a globalist agenda, and they need to create chaos. The us versus them. Now, in South Africa, it's blacks versus the whites. In other places, it's the Muslims against the Christians, or it's homosexuals against straights, or it's the North versus the South. Whatever it is, it's just really designed to cause chaos. The people behind it, the people like Soros and others, they don't care really what the difference is, as long as there is a difference that's being exploited and it's causing disunity among a people and that there's chaos, because out of the chaos comes order. And they are prepared to bring that order. It is a globalist vision, a globalist agenda. Well, why do you talk about South Africa so much, not other places? Well, I do talk about other places. And in fact, in the past, I have. It's not because they're whites that are being oppressed. It's because somebody is being oppressed. And I talk about this often. Now, during Darfur, I was riled up that the mostly Arab and other Muslims were coming in and killing the blacks, even though they were Muslim. In Darfur, they're coming into villages and trying to run them off because they're not pure. You're black, so you're not a pure Arabic Muslim, and so you don't deserve to be here. You shouldn't even be in our country. We're going to run you off. Well, geez, these guys are Muslims. Not good enough. So what do? They rape, they butcher, they kill, they destroy, they poison their wells so their villages become uninhabitable by dumping. They'd shoot animals, slice their guts open, then drop the animal, the rotting carcass, down into the water wells. And then with gasoline and all kinds of other stuff. So these people had to move on into Chad and then create a refugee crisis for Chad, because the people had to run across the border for safety and security because they were being ran down. That really makes me wish I could be like one of those Marvel superheroes, you know, just go in there and just lay waste to the bullies. I've always just hated bullies. I that's it. De oppresso liber, liberate the oppressed. People that are oppressed, it just bugs me. People that are, they're helpless. They're not able to defend themselves against bullies, really. It's people exercising power and control over others in such an abusive way, oppressive, I mean, beyond the pale. And we're talking about the stuff that they do to children and to women. It just, that bugged me. Those are blacks. Rwanda, the Hutus and the Tutsis, bugged me big time. I was powerless to do anything about it. I spoke out against it. I studied it. I followed it. Sudan, something very near and dear to my heart. The Muslims persecuting the Christians in the South, until the Christians in the South in 2012 ended up finally, after a 20 plus year civil war, ended up getting their own country, South Sudan. But there's still division that's going on there. There's still hostilities that's going on. Fledgling country, just like ours was when we first became a country. We still had skirmishes and battles and division, and which took us away. It was just a miracle of God that we were able to finally get our act together and actually become a country, and the country that we became. Amazing. But that one was very near and dear to my heart. I almost went to Sudan to help with some of the pastors that were working to smuggle in other pastors and workers, or smuggle people out and smuggle Bibles in and other supplies to aid and assist. Some other life events took place in my life that kind of diverted me from that. But the South Africa thing has nothing to do with running to help whites. This is what it has to do with. I've never been directly approached by the affected people in another country, although I follow these things closely, like I have with South Africa, where I was directly approached saying, you have a voice and an audience. We are being oppressed. This is what we're up against. This is our plight. Can you help us? Will you help us? And I wasn't even aware 2 years ago, 3 years ago, of exactly what was going on in South Africa. Since then, I've met liaisons, diplomats, emissaries, if you will, that are traveling abroad seeking help and assistance because of this genocide that they face and the oppression that they're living under. And it is race-based over there. That's the excuse. The whites have all the land. Not fair. We must kill them. Okay, but really what this is communist revolutionaries. Here we are again. So why do I care about this so much? Because I believe that South Africa is about 10 to 15 years ahead on the timeline from where we are headed. I believe that their daily headlines are our future headlines. That's what we have in store for us. Now, it will be slightly different because there's different demographics, and the globalists will figure out a way to cause division in different ways than what they're dealing with there. But still, the end game is the same. And this really is against mostly Christians in South Africa, people who've lived there for generations, who settled there. They either purchased the land, they settled on land that was not occupied by anyone. And now, for generations later, somebody else is saying it's not fair that you have land and I don't. Now, I'm not talking about the British and their colonialism. I'm talking about the Boer who settled there and worked with the indigenous personnel when they encountered them, but there was hardly any there because of the Zulu Wars wiped out most of all the indigenous people there before the whites even showed up. So I was directly approached by these folks from Sightlanders who said, we really need some help badly. And I said, tell me more about it. And the more I've learned, the more I realize what they're up against is our future. That's why I chose. Because why? And not just because it's just a fascination with somebody else who's going through some difficult thing. It's because we are in a position where we have something of value to offer on one hand. And on the other hand, we have something that we can learn from them. The Sightlanders is the most advanced, largest organized non-government civil defense organization in the world. They had 70,000 members when we first came into contact with them. Now they are upwards of about 130,000 members who are preparing for civil defense, for not offensive but defensive, when it becomes official that their demographic group begins being targeted for extermination. This genocide begins to take place. These people have a plan to escape to redoubts, to safe havens for mutual aid, while they appeal to the international community to intervene under the Geneva Conventions. That's what it's all about. So we have something to offer for them in respect to communications and emergency communications. And since they have been doing this for so long, I'm not so arrogant to think that, oh, we can go and teach them how to do their communications network. We can actually learn a lot from them. But there are definitely some things that they can learn from us. So this is a mutual relationship where we can mutually benefit from learning from one another. That's why this is this important. Now, just this week, ZeroHedge.com, along with many others, ran there's a couple of articles that came out. As land confiscations loom, South Africa rules that 300,000 gun owners turn over their weapons. Do you think this would be the time to turn over your weapon? South Africa is opening the door for tyranny. The Constitutional Court of South Africa recently ruled that 300,000 gun owners must turn in their firearms. This judgment came in response to the North Gauteng High Court's ruling in 2017, which said Section 24 and Section 28 of the Firearms Control Act were unconstitutional. So a report from the Citizen explains what Section 24 and 28 entail. Section 24 of the Act requires that any person who seeks to renew a license must do so 90 days before its expiration date. Section 28 stipulates that if a firearm license has been canceled, the firearm must be disposed of or forfeited to the state. A 60-day time frame was placed on its disposal, which was to be done through a dealer. Okay, If you don't renew your license, it's going to expire. You get 90 days. Okay. A court comes along and says that's unconstitutional. You can't require them of that. So what does the natural person do? Well, they don't go and they don't renew this license within 90 days because another court just said, this is my understanding of it. The court said that's unconstitutional. You can't do that. So nobody goes and renews their license because it's already been ruled unconstitutional. Well, this other court comes along and overrules them after everybody didn't renew their license because the court ruled that the requirement to do so was not constitutional. Now you've got 300,000 gun owners who have passed this Section 2824 stipulation of registering within 90 days. So they didn't turn their so now, since the court has reinstituted this law, these guys have not renewed their license within 90 days. So now they're required to turn in their firearms or destroy them. And of course, you have to go through a licensed gun dealer to verify that it's been destroyed. So now there's 300,000 gun owners, lawful gun owners, who are now being told that they have to turn in their firearms. Right on the heels of calls for genocide to kill whites. So this country is hurling, this country, South Africa, is hurling toward a civil war. These people will not be able to. No rational person could expect that these guys would give up their ability to protect life right at the time when they're being told that their lives need to be snuffed out because of the color of their skin. I'm going to put this article up here for you guys to read. There's a couple of them. One that goes to The New American, and this other one that goes to Zero Hedge. There's one at Gunpowder Magazine. It's all over the place now. Pretty spooky stuff. In South Africa's case, farmers and their workers are already suffering ongoing attacks against their property. One could only imagine what it would be like for these persecuted farmers once they're stripped of the right to self-defense, the article says, and which is what I just said. And here's something else. But people was like, yeah, but they have not approved the taking of land from whites. Well, it's coming. Yeah, but that didn't get approved. They're still working out the details. They're going to get it. You know why? The International Monetary Fund approves of South Africa's controversial land reform. This article just came out. As long as the highly contentious process is quote unquote rules based and transparent, according to the fund's representative in the country. So this representative, the IMF's senior resident representative in South Africa, said that the regulation must not damage agricultural output and put a risk to food supplies for the country's citizens. That's precisely what it's going to do. They're saying because they've been told they're going to take the land by force. That's what they're saying. We want a constitutional amendment so that we can lawfully. Now, under the rules, rules-based, that means we can lawfully take it. So we're going to change the law to say we can lawfully take your land because of the color of your skin. And voila, hey, it's constitutional now, so it's lawful. They're saying you can't do it unless it's rules-based. All right, well, change the rules. Rewrite the Constitution. Yay, now we can do it. Now the IMF is going to be satisfied. Okay, and it has to be transparent, right? South Africa government being transparent. Who's going to fall for that? It's like the Charlie Brown and the Lucy with the football thing. Who would fall for that? Well, these people aren't falling for it. They see what's coming. They see what's going on. And the International Monetary Fund now is approving this as long as it's rules based. So, and they're saying, and as long as it doesn't disrupt the food supply. Well, that's exactly what happened in Zimbabwe. We didn't learn from our history. Did we? Or they did. And maybe this is intentional. Because they did see how well it worked in Zimbabwe to create the chaos, to run to the rescue and hurl Zimbabwe into debt they'll never be able to repay, unless maybe it's all those minerals and riches in the ground that they possibly had to sign over as collateral for all this debt. So these International Monetary Fund, they're setting themselves up to steal the wealth of nations everywhere. And a lot of innocent people are going to die in the process. So we're going to continue to watch this. We're going to continue to follow this. That is why I worry about South Africa. All of these things that I just mentioned. And there's a lot more. We're going to continue to follow up with them. I'll be talking to Simon Roche again this week. And hopefully we'll have more details. What I need to do is set up an interview with him to share some information with you guys as well. So, okay, that's all I got, though. You guys, you have a blessed week. Be safe this Labor Day. It's going to be a short work week. So we'll be talking to you next Saturday on Liberty Broadcasting Systems, 96.5 FM and AM 630 if you are in the heart of the American Redoubt, and for the rest of you on live streaming. All right. I am John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, you have a blessed week. Good night.